Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Rusty Quill presents The Magnus Archives. Episode 40, Human Remains.
John, as your boss, I'm telling you to go home.
I'm fine.
Look, you look like a mummy. You need rest.
Our friends in the hazmat suits gave me a clean bill of health, bloody holes notwithstanding. And they seemed quite keen to quarantine anyone showing even the slightest sign of infection. It's just pain.
The paramedics said your lungs need fresh air. Tim's as well.
It's fresh enough down here.
A basement filled with 1,000 rotting worm carcasses. Surely we could do this in my office.
No. I need to be here. Keep watch. I need to be sure.
John, she's gone. I went with the ECDC people when they took her away. I watched her body burn. Jane Prentice is dead. You can relax.
You know why I can't. When Martin found...
That's a matter for the police.
Fine. Fine. I'll go home as soon as I have everyone's statements.
Very well.
Statement of Elias Bouchard, head of the Magnus Institute, regarding the infestation by the entity formerly known as Jane Prentice. Statement recorded direct from subject, 29th July, 2016. Whenever you're ready.
There isn't a lot to tell for my part. This afternoon, just after lunch, I was going over some budgets in my office as I normally do on a Tuesday when the fire alarm started going off. It was annoying, but not too worrying at first. I packed my work away and began to calmly head towards the evacuation point when Sasha came barreling through the door, babbling about worms and clutching a tape recorder. I told her that whatever was wrong should wait until we were out of the building, as there may be a fire. She told me she had set off the fire alarm to get everyone out, and that you and Martin and Tim were currently trapped by Jane Prentice. Obviously, this got my attention, and I suggested she turn the tape recorder on largely so this sort of debrief wouldn't be necessary. Did you not get the tapes?
No, there was some sort of problem. Sasha told me the tape was lost.
Well, I explained to her about the recently installed fire suppression system and said that as there was no actual fire, we'd need to activate it manually. We hurried down and it was clear everyone else had already evacuated. We had reached the ground floor when... well... I know I have often seemed dismissive of your concerns before. In fact, I was getting ready to raise the issue of Martin's continuing to live in the Institute's basement, especially as I believe he's been stealing fire extinguishers. But... honestly, I didn't fully appreciate what you've been talking about until I turned that corner and we saw what I can only describe as a tidal wave of filth rushing towards us. I feel somewhat ashamed to admit I didn't really pay any attention to Sasha as I ran and must have lost her at some point. We became separated. I composed myself and decided on a more roundabout route to the boiler room. Luckily, it seemed the things were mainly concentrated in that one mass, leaving the other corridors largely vacant. It took me 10 minutes, maybe 15, but I made it with only one close call. The sight of rows and rows of huge red CO2 canisters was certainly something of a comfort. I do apologize that it took me quite so long to figure out how to actually work the system. If I'd been quicker...
It's fine. We're alive.
Yes, well... I turned on the fire suppression system, and that's when I heard the scream. I can't really describe it, but I'm sure I don't need to. You were a lot closer to it than I was.
The last thing I remember before blacking out. Tens of thousands of things without mouths screaming as one.
Yes. Horrible sound. Anyway, I... called the fire department, ambulance, and a contact at the ECDC who had previously been involved in the Prentice investigation. Once I was sure most of the gas would have dissipated, I headed down to the archives to see what had happened. Sasha was already there, but you and Tim were in a bad shape. It looked like a few dozen worms had been going into each of you when the carbon dioxide killed them. It was bloody sausage.
Yes. Thank you. I remember everything from when the ambulance arrived. Quarantine, bandaging, etc. When did Martin get back?
It was about an hour after they'd taken you and Tim away. They were prepping Prentice's corpse for disposal when Martin burst out of that trap door you found, screaming that he'd found a body. So we called the police.
Tell me what happened to Gertrude Robinson.
John, how many times do we need to go over
We've
this?
We've never got it on tape.
You can barely stand. Just why don't we do this tomorrow? On the 15th of March last year, I had a query about a statement one of our researchers was after and went down to the archives. Gertrude wasn't there, but her desk was covered in blood. I called the police and there was a huge search, but there was no sign of Gertrude, alive or dead. She didn't have any assistants, so there were no witnesses and no one saw or heard anything. The police tested the blood and confirmed the DNA match to Gertrude, though I don't know why they had her on file. They judged there to be almost a gallon of blood spilled, far more than the human body can lose and survive, so I assume she was dead and left the investigation to the police for all that good it did me. And I appoint another archivist. Martin finding her body in the tunnels is as much a mystery to me as it is to you.
Right. Right. Thank you, Elias. Statement ends. Can you send in Tim?
Do you need much? I'd really like to go home.
I sympathise. It won't take more than a few minutes. I need the parts that weren't on tape at the time.
Sure. Just quarantine, you know. Not as much fun as it sounds.
You were certainly in there longer than I was. Everything all right?
Yeah. I just made some joke about itching and Suddenly they were doing a whole bunch more tests.
Well, itching is one
of... I know. I was trying to lighten the mood. I'm fine, though. Except for the holes. And the pain. And the blood. And the nightmares. Could have been worse, though, eh? Another couple of minutes and...
Yes. Yes. It was... Anyway. Statement of Timothy Stoker, Archival Assistant at the Magnus Institute regarding the infestation by the entity formerly known as Jane Prentice. Statement recorded direct from subject, 29th July, 2016. Just take it from when you got back from lunch.
Well, I could tell something was wrong as soon as I got back. It was quiet. I mean, it's normally quiet, but it was dead quiet. I spotted the tape recorder lying on the ground and went over to see if it was damaged. And as I was checking it, I heard Sasha shouting. It's a bit of a blur, to be honest, because when I turned around, there she was. Prentice. Her face so full of holes, it's like my eyes are up here, but they're not, you know? They're just... She tried to say something, but I don't. I couldn't really understand her through all the... So, I could see the worms were coming through the floor, the walls everywhere, the whole we're safe inside the archive thing. Not so much. I don't know what I was going to do. I think I was going to try and hit her, but that's when Sasha knocked me to the floor. It was a good move, actually. Prentice didn't seem to expect it, and... We crushed a lot of worms when we fell. They were slow to react. We were running before they really went for us. I mean, all this happened in the space of a few seconds, so I'm not exactly certain. Sasha had to basically drag me behind her. I saw the shelf in front of us was about to topple. There were so many worms on it, so being the hero I am, I let go of her hand and told her to go get help. She made it out of the main door. I turned to run into the office. I was just trying to get a door between me and Prentice. I didn't know that's where you made the first hole. There were loads of them. Some jumped at me as I ran inside, so I dodged out of the way, but ended up sprawling into this pile of boxes that I thought were case files. Instead, I found myself lying on top of a whole bunch of CO2 canisters, which are damn hard, by the way. The worms were still coming, so I used them. I went full gas Rambo. After that, my memory gets a bit fuzzy. I think the paramedic called it respiratory acidosis, from breathing in all the carbon dioxide rather than your more traditional oxygen. I remember finishing the first few extinguishers, killing the things, but they kept coming, so I grabbed a few more and saw the massive hole in the wall. There didn't seem much point in staying, so I went into the tunnels. They were cold. Dry. You know that worm smell, that earthy, rotten smell?
Oh, yes.
Well, yeah. There weren't so many down there. I think they were almost all in the archives. I have a theory, actually. I think they weren't ready to attack when you found the tunnels. It's like something in the Institute slows them down and makes them, sluggish. And that noise they make, that squirming sound, they don't make it when they're in the tunnels. I don't know why. It was only when they came into the Institute, maybe the light or the aircon or something, I'm not sure, but I think it made them weaker, and they've been down there for months, breeding, building up their numbers until there were enough to properly bury us. Except you found that hidden passage, and they had to act.
Maybe. Could you describe the tunnels?
You were there.
Humor me.
I remember they sloped down and up and around. I couldn't keep track of where I was. I did see some more worms, though. They were fast. I only saw a couple. But it was still proper jump scare territory. I got them, though. It was really surreal. I only had my phone's torch, and it was hard to keep an eye out. I was so lightheaded. I wandered for, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes before I found a wall that seemed different. It looked like someone had just put some plasterboard over an entrance. And I could hear you and Martin on the other side. I broke through and, well, you were there for the rest.
Quite. You weren't there when Martin found the body, though, were you?
No. I was quarantined, same as you.
And you didn't see it in the tunnels when you were first exploring?
No. I did see... I mean, maybe...
What?
No, it's just... I think I was still gassed and it was dark, but... I found a room.
Go on.
I didn't stay long, because it had a lot of worms in, and they weren't acting like the others. They were sort of wrapping around each other, like they were trying to form a thing, like a structure or something. A ring. I was probably still out of my skull and half hallucinated the whole thing, but it looked like they were trying to make a doorway.
Doorway? Is it still there?
No. I pumped 2 full extinguishers into that room. Nothing was getting out.
Good. Good. Go home, Tim. Get some sleep.
Yeah. Sure.
Statement of Sasha James, archival assistant at the Magnus Institute regarding the invasion by the entity formerly known as Jane Prentice. Statement recorded direct from subject, 29th July, 2016. In your own time.
Yes. Where do you want me to begin? I was with you until I ran out to save Tim. Then we were separated and I fled into the Institute proper. I pulled the fire alarm because the worms were following me and I didn't want anyone else to get hurt. I went to Elias, we talked. We were going to save you, but the worms came and I fled into the artifact storage room. You know I hate the artifact storage room, so it must have been bad.
You used to work there, didn't you?
Yes. For 3 months. It was dreadful. I used to think that it was the most dangerous place in the Institute.
Not anymore.
Yes. Not anymore. It was safe enough. The worms didn't get in, and I stayed there until the fire system deployed. Then I ran out to get to a window. I saw the worms in the main Institute. They shriveled and died. I don't think I'll ever forget that scream, though. I could hear Prentice screaming even from there.
Well, it's thanks to you, to be honest. If you hadn't met that Michael thing...
Yes. Michael. With the bones in his hands. We still don't know much about him, do we?
No, not yet. Sorry, getting distracted. You got as far as Jane Prentice's death.
Yes. I returned to the archives, and all the worms were dead. You and Tim were lying there, but you weren't moving. You just lay there. The dead worm still half inside you. The trapdoor was open next to you, and more were inside. I went over to check, and you were alive, so I pulled you back to where there was more air and began to remove the worms. Are you all right?
Sorry, just difficult to hear, you know.
Yes, I understand. That was when Elias arrived with the fire brigade and the doctors and the hazmat people. They talked to me for a long time, and I did my best to explain the situation. They checked me for worm marks, but I was fine. They took you away, so I waited with Elias. He was looking at me strangely, but we were both quiet. It had been a very strange day. After an hour or so, we heard cries from the trap door. It was Martin. He was shouting about a body. We got him out, and Elias tried to get him to calm down and explain. He said he had found the body of the previous archivist, Gertrude Robinson. And that was when Elias called the police. I tried to calm him down, but he was in bad shape. The police arrived, and I gave them pretty much this same statement.
Right. Right. What about the tape? You had the tape recorder, the one I'd just recorded Mr. Romeo's statement on. But when you gave it back, it was empty.
Yes. I dropped it a few times. The eject button must have been hit. I didn't notice until you pointed it out. It's probably around somewhere. Is it that important?
It's important to me. Are you feeling all right? You seem a bit out of it.
Yes. I am very tired. It's hard to keep track of things sometimes.
Right. Go get some rest, Sasha.
Yes, I will.
I mean, I already told the police.
Well, now tell me. I need to hear it. I need to record it.
All right. Are you okay?
Fine. Painkillers are starting to wear off, but it's fine. Statement of Martin Blackwood, archival assistant, etc., etc. Go.
Right. Well, I was doing some background checks for case 008-1709 when you and Sasha started screaming.
Yes. I was there. I was with you for almost the whole time, and that tape survived just fine.
Sorry.
It's fine. I only need from when you got separated, from when you got lost in the tunnels.
No, I mean, I'm sorry I left you.
Martin.
It was an accident. I thought you two were with me. I mean, the worms came at us, and they were so much faster, and then there was the gas and the running, and I thought you were right behind me, but when I turned around, you were gone. You were both gone. It was an accident.
I know. It's fine, Martin. Everyone's fine. I just need you to tell me what happened next, and then it's finished.
All right. So, yeah. We got separated, so I tried shouting, but you didn't answer. The walls seemed to kill the sound dead, and there wasn't any echo. They were old stone, like really old, and there was no light except my torch. I always keep my torch on me, ever since I moved into the archive, so I had that at least. I wandered for a while. It's a maze down there, John. I don't know how far the passages go, maybe miles. I think it must be the old Millbank prison, like Tim was saying before. I even found some stairs at one point, but I really didn't want to go down them. I hadn't seen any worms for a few minutes, and weirdly enough, that actually started to worry me. Like, if there weren't any worms, then I'd gone too far from the Institute. And there was more dust in those corridors too, and dead rats. Even some discarded wine bottles. At one point, there was an empty packet of Mint Imperials.
Martin.
And... Sorry. Yeah. I was trying to go back. Not that I knew what back even meant down there when I heard the scream. I don't even know how to go about describing it, but I thought... Well, I hoped. Well, when I started to find the shriveled bodies of worms all over the place, I knew she was dead. So I wanted to get out of there. I was looking for a way up, but it felt more and more like I was trapped. Every turn just led me to another empty corridor. When I finally found a door, I thought it might actually get out, but instead... It was a small room. Square. There was dust on everything. Cardboard boxes were piled around. They were full of old cassette tapes.
That's where you found her.
She was sat in a wooden chair in the middle of the room. No worms, no cobwebs, just an old corpse. Gertrude Robinson. She was slumped forward, but I could see her mouth hanging open. So I ran, and I found the trapdoor soon afterwards.
Could you find the room again?
I don't know. Maybe. The police certainly expect me to, although I get the feeling they're not too keen to explore the tunnels either.
Martin. How did Gertrude Robinson die?
I don't know. Not for sure. It was so dark, and I only saw the body for a few seconds. The police were quite clear that the cause of death could be absolutely any...
Martin, how did she die?
She was shot. 3 times that I could see. 3 shots to the chest.
Right. Right. Thank you, Martin. Gertrude Robinson, the last archivist at the Magnus Institute and my predecessor, was murdered. There were no worms to infest her, no strange ghostly apparitions to warp her mind or caves to entomb her. She was killed in the archives by someone who used a gun. And that scares me far more than any specter or twisted creature. Because that means someone here is a killer. The police will investigate thoroughly, I have no doubt, but given their track record in this matter, I am not optimistic. There is something in these files, in these statements. I know that now, some deeper mystery. I think Gertrude Robinson found it, and I think that is why they killed her. Some of my tapes are missing. Maybe it was Prentice, but she seemed more interested in the written files, and the other tapes seem fine. There's no sign of debris or anything that would indicate they've been destroyed. But in addition to the tapes Sasha lost earlier, the tapes for cases 0051701 and 0160204 are gone. I don't know why these two specifically, but I cannot trust anyone. I'm going to figure this out, and I'm not going to stop. They'll have to kill me first. End recording.
The Magnus Archives will return on Thursday, 1st of December, 2016. Season 1 has featured Jonathan Sims as the archivist, Alexander J. Newell as Martin Blackwood, Mike LeBeau as Tim Stoker, Lottie Broomhall as Sasha James, Ben Meredith as Elias Bouchard, Lydia Nicholas as Melanie King, Martin Corcoran as Dr. Lionel Elliott and Breakin, Stephen Vilich as Hope, Katie Davison as Naomi Hearn, Hannah Brankin as Jane Prentice and Laura Popham, and Evelyn Hewitt as Not Sasha. The series was produced by Alexander J. Newell, Michael LeBeau and Murray Porter. It was written by Jonathan Sims and directed by Alexander J. Newell. This podcast is distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike International License. For more information, visit rustyquill.com. Thanks for listening.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.